It was $8.
Yes. If you bought it at Starbucks, it would be $8.
Yeah, because you're paying for the little logo.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's why our content is free. See, if people were on Patreon, then
Yeah, if
we could
they're on Patreon,
afford.
they could see these beautiful
They could
lashes,
see you're
these
all glammed up.
nails,
Yes,
all my in my natural beauty.
I'm still haven't taken the post-workout shower yet, so
Oh, I like it.
it's gonna be a late one.
Musty.
Yeah, it's one way to describe it.
Just that manly, that musk.
The hard work doesn't stop, man. Hard work doesn't stop.
It doesn't. It doesn't. No.
You know what doesn't stop? Recording. Recording never stops. I record from the moment I show up to the moment shows begin. That's what we do here.
Why
I
should
mean, that's.
you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bigger than ever, stronger than ever, forever. Rocky Logan, yo Logan, show Logan. Show, yo, and Rocky, we about to make Roppongi 3K. Transform and Optimus so proper, like bigger than Gundam bodies, so slapper like showing yo they hit the room. The crowd blacked out, can you feel the boom? Causing more chaos in a typhoon. Future fried wrestling served to you with a spoon.
I can't even stop laughing, even though I
Oh
ended
my
the
God.
soundbite on purpose. That's right, between the meerkat and the boom
Wow.
and
Wow.
everything. Yep.
Wow.
So we do here. So that's what we're doing.
That's just
Yeah. It's
that
the Wednesday night
happened.
war. It's Thursday night. It's really late. It's the Wednesday night war. We're recording after not recording on Thanksgiving. Now we are recording, and yeah, we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna talk about AEW. We're gonna talk about NXT. When I say we, I mean me, Greg DeMarco at Chairshot Greg.
Shut your dumb mouth.
Sometimes sound bites make me laugh, and this one made me. You're still singing. You didn't stop. My bad. Sorry. You didn't mean to take your song away from you. You know, that's what happens. At
I mean, it's
Chairshot
your
Greg
song.
is, well, but yeah, do it for you. At Chairshot Greg on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram. But yeah, I went on earlier today. Did a couple things. You know, try to stay connected a little bit. Just a little bit, but not too much. However, I don't do this show alone because that wouldn't be any fun for me or you, the listener, but mainly for me. That's why we have at Look It's Brittany and all your forms of social media, Brittany Nicole. The camera angles are just the craziest part. Like, it would be dizzying to anybody watching. They
That's
would.
why we need Patreon.
That's why we need Patreon. That's right. We need a sound bite that just says that's why we need Patreon. It's a great idea. It's one
It's my
point.
oh. Oh, I get 1 point?
I don't know. Awesome. 2 points? 7 points? Oh. What points do you want? What points do you want?
Are points like ratings?
They're probably more important than the ratings, to be honest with you.
Then I want 7 points.
Okay. It's like this. Points. Ratings. Ratings? Points.
That's great. I feel accomplished in my life today. People will be like, what'd you do yesterday? I'll be like, I got 7 points.
Oh, you got 7 points. Well, that's amazing. Ratings?
Shut your dumb mouth.
Points. So if you've listened to this show before, you know that we talk about AEW and NXT, the shows that we're so blessed to be able to watch each and every Wednesday night on the WWE Network, on the USA Network, on TNT. It's out there if you want to watch it. If you want anything to watch, it's available for you to watch. And we get to live right here in the middle of it. So missed last week. Want to get things caught up this week and just have a whole lot of fun. So yeah, the biggest thing from this week's shows that really jumped out at me, which is kind of the hottest topic, yeah, you got the ratings, right? And of course, you know, what do we think of the ratings? I mean, that's one way to describe the ratings. People can't see. It's another way
just
to describe
it. Use your imagination.
Yeah.
Another way to describe the ratings would be, fuck the ratings.
Exactly. But for those of you keeping score at home, this week AEW did win the ratings by 6,000 viewers, which is like, I mean, that's
two people.
That's not even that. That's what people fail to understand is that these are estimates at best, and 30,000 people from last week is something that could be considered a rounding error. So 6,000 people is like a guessing error. I don't even know what it is. Like, who the hell even knows? Both shows went up. Both shows, you know, were good. Both shows did well. So that's where we're at with these silly rings. But here's what I like about this week. The thing that jumped out at me the most about this week was actually some things that AEW did. First off, I know, right? What? Yeah, things that AEW did. So here, we used to joke about, is it a war? Is it not a war? And after this week, I finally feel like we got some war-like elements going on. First off, before the premiere of Dynamite this week, AEW or TNT ran a commercial, which was running quotes about people saying that AEW trounced NXT, AEW destroyed NXT, all these things that were basically quotes from articles that came out like the first week that these shows were head-to-head, not the last 2 weeks before when NXT beat AEW in the rings. And I was kind of surprised that this commercial came out, that Tony Khan greenlit it and whatever. I also don't know the turnaround time on making something like that, and if maybe when it was made, they were winning, and that's why it was made like that. But AEW did some things this week that I really thought were funny. Like, for starters, okay, recreating the Britt Baker moment of shock. Like, that was just, yes, you're doing the Britt Baker right now, just the one-handed. And I loved it. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I loved Excalibur screaming, that's Adam Cole's girlfriend. Like, it just, I enjoyed that. I thought it was funny.
I enjoyed it because it's one of those things of, like, Tony Khan is, like, the best mean girl in high school you could ever, like, the level of petty is so strong with this one. Like, I mean, it is so insane how petty he is. Like, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm surprised that if she didn't get a call from Adam Cole that was like, babe, what the fuck?
Oh, he probably knew before she did it. They probably think it's hilarious. Like, I would imagine that, you know, and even when it happened on TakeOver, when she was on screen, they had to acknowledge it. Triple H says it wasn't planned and he wouldn't want to put anybody in a position. I love them using it. I love AEW using it. Then you had Cody going out there and criticizing the crossroads that MJF did, but then using the quote, it's now being botched on two different channels, thus referring to Damian Priest using the move, which he does just fine. By the way, he's not botching the crossroads at all when Damian Priest uses it. But this, to me, is I don't think they should have been doing this from day one, because then nothing was established. But I think we're into it. We're going back and forth with ratings and with whatever else. Like, to me, this is the fun part. I think they should be acknowledging each other. I think they should be taking these little jabs. I think that AEW should have this chip on its shoulder. And to me, it was just a fun element that I really, really liked. And I honestly want to see more of it. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I do agree. Like I said, one, I'm a girl. So, and two, for those of you that don't know me in real life, I'm a petty bitch. So, I mean, like, I love the fact that they're taking these little jabs. And I love that NXT or WWE has taken some jabs, but have been kind of the more high road people, as it were, in quote unquote, in most respects. But it's also one of those things of it is. They have a chip on their shoulder. They, you know, they think they're better, or they try to be better, or they ratings are better, blah, blah, blah. And like they're faithful. They're AEW sheep. Are constantly being like, they're gonna take NXT and WWE and they're gonna be done and WWE's gonna crumble. And it's like, I don't wanna break their little hearts and tell them like that's never going to happen. But I also wanna be like, I hope that AEW succeeds to the point where we can have a continuous two wrestling companies that are on mainstream television. Like, that's just more opportunities for everyone. But yeah, this level, like Cody acknowledging, you know, Damian Priest doing his crowd, acknowledging, you know, the fact that his brother is doing other things, his wife is haunted, you know, like all the different aspects that it is in that. So I really do enjoy that he did do those things and that they took those shots. And the Britt Baker thing, I thought it was kind of cheesy, but then again also I was like, oh man, that's hilarious that they're like, oh no, we saw your ploy and we one-upped you one. Like, we're like that's cute, because you knew she was going to be there, because like she's going to be there to support her man, duh.
Yeah, like, exactly.
But you know, she's been there every single time. Like, you know, she's always there. And so, like, they're like, oh, that's funny. You show Argo, like, oh, yeah, AJ, she's there. That's Adam Cole's girlfriend. And they're like, oh, no. We're going to do the same thing. She's going to go in the audience again and do it. So it was, it was fun, petty high school bullshit. And I loved it.
And I want it to continue. Like, I don't know what else they can do. Yeah. I mean, I don't want it to dominate. I don't want there to be like a whole match or a character or something. Like the Britt Baker thing happened as part of the attack that Nyla Rose was doing with Rick Knox and Shanna. And so it was kind of like an add-on to that. And Cody, it was part of his promo, and that's all fine and well. If it dominates, then it becomes sort of too much. When it's extra, then I'm fine. It's very extra, first of all. But when it is extra,
real extra.
Like I'm all about it. And the Britt Baker
pepper.
One. Yes. The Britt Baker one just caught me totally off guard. Like, watching, and it was in the commercial, and just they cut to it, and it was perfectly done. Like, I've seen a picture that literally was like the shot from TakeOver and the shot from Dynamite next to each other, and it was exactly, she's wearing the same jacket. I mean, it was just so. Now people on Twitter are doing the Britt Baker, like it's just really.
Oh
really,
yeah, it's become
funny.
A trend now. Like the Britt Baker thing is like a whole trend. I'll probably do it tomorrow. I don't know, to
should.
Promote something.
You should definitely do it tomorrow. Just, you can use it to promote the show, which is really funny, because like we've been critical of Britt Baker in the ring before, and that's not necessarily going to go away. But Britt Baker doing that was perfect. Like, that's
well,
talent.
You can't knock her because, I mean, she is a dentist.
She went to school for it, damn it. Like, come
Six
on.
6 years.
6 years in school. That's what it takes. So.
Which is hilarious because I have friends who are working dentistry that only went for 2 years, so I...
Not a real dentist, apparently. Not a DMD.
No, so. Clearly.
Clearly. That's what it takes. Oh my goodness. That's just too good. Like, seriously. too freaking good.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed AEW this week. I have to say. Like, I enjoyed NXT, I enjoyed AEW. I mean, Dustin Rhodes actually looked very good on I mean, I don't like the Young Bucks. If you've listened to this, you know. But I liked Dustin being added to it. He added something different and he actually looked a lot healthier than he's been. And he actually looked pretty good. Like, he still has something.
Oh yeah. Dustin. And here's the thing, like, how often does he have to wrestle? So this is
right.
Definitely playing right into him and is helping him be able to do the things that, you know, that he wants to do and, you know, be in the kind of shape that he wants to be in. And it's a good, you know, mm-hmm. definitely just a good situation for him. So I'm all about it. I'm all about it. And I think it's great. And I think that what Dustin is doing, it's probably the ideal role for him at this point in his career. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the only thing I didn't like was the mix match outfit that he was wearing. Like, I don't need Dustin being a Young Buck.
So. Yeah. I mean, it kind of looked like he skinned a Muppet.
He kind of looks like a Muppet to begin with, actually. So
right, he looks like he's straight up from the Muppet Show. So like when he wore that, I was like, oh my goodness, it's him in his final form. Like it's him, completely just he's
fully
embraced
evolved.
It. He's yep. fully evolved into his Muppet self.
Now he's gonna become this like Force ghost and just disappear forever. And here goes
Phenomena.
Dustin. Phenomena. So we do on this show.
Nope.
That's what
we're professionals.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, oh man. Can we talk about the hair thing?
Sure. Talk about the hair thing.
Well, first of all, Brandy coming out in her full burlesque magic realness. Haunted Brandy is like a sexy burlesque. For those of you who don't know what burlesque is, just look it up. Because I don't want to explain it anymore. I'm tired of it.
For those of you who don't know what burlesque is, I'm not going to help you. So, sorry.
No. Look, clearly you're listening to this. You have the internet or a smartphone, so just look it up. Like, I'm tired of explaining it to children. Yeah, I mean, she is full of burlesque realness, just ripped off that skirt, got in the ring, was with Chris Statlander, who was at Shimmer.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
See what I deal with? You know, I was really concerned when you all of a sudden were like, I was very concerned when you were so quiet over there. I'm like, wow, I'm speaking and he's not, and like, he's quiet. I knew you were looking up something. I just didn't know what.
I didn't mean to play it quite yet. Like, I thought I had it ready to mute and everything, and then all of a sudden it starts going. I was like, well, I can't stop it now. So,
That's professionals.
I mean, okay. So here's the thing. Like, if anyone has taken the chance to listen to the past two editions of, we didn't do a Greg DeMarco show or hashtag, we combined. So we did the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco.
Super good shit show.
Super such good shit show 3 and super such good shit show 4, pal. And I've been preaching this for a long time, especially to our other podcasts behind the scenes. The topics and the discussion are secondary. Like, what's most important is the people and the interactions and the entertainment. Like, that, we could talk about anything. listen to Pod Is War. They did the first ever non-wrestling edition of Pod Is War this week, and I've been pitching that to them for over a year. I was like, I want you the whole episode and not talk about wrestling, and I guarantee you it'll be great.
We did that on the I was on the one with the Greg DeMarco show where we did that, wasn't I? You pitched it. You were gonna. That's what.
It may not have been planned, but it might have turned out that way.
Yeah.
I mean, this week's shit show. We went 30 minutes before we talked about wrestling. Like we talked about Disney World. That's where Patrick was. We talked about Miranda's new T-shirt.
Hold on. Patrick was in Disney World.
Yes.
And he didn't like get me something that has to do with Baby Yoda.
Supposedly, they don't have anything Baby Yoda because they didn't tell anyone they were doing Baby Yoda. Like, there's not even...
I call bullshit on that. Or he didn't just get me anything. Patrick knows it's my birthday soon.
Does he?
Maybe if we say his name enough, he'll listen to this. Since I mean, he doesn't listen to anything he's not on, so...
Yeah, well, you know, that's Patrick for you. He doesn't listen to anything he's not on. It's just, you know, it's all about him and Patrick. You're so vain. But yeah, he was at Disney World. He probably didn't get you anything because he was there with his family. I doubt he got. He actually hasn't left yet. He's still there for another day. I might text him tomorrow and be like, "Brittany said you better bring her something back."
Yeah, like if he brings me like some Mickey Mouse ears, I'll wear them with that outfit for the bunny outfit. But I'll wear the mouse ears instead.
Oh boy!
Just make him extremely uncomfortable. Ruining people's childhoods. Or
adulthood.
Making him better.
You're either ruining his adulthood, improving it, or both. I don't know.
Yeah. All of it. Much like Brandy with their sexy burlesqueness, but then all of a sudden she decided to cut people's hair off and do the whole CM Punk cult.
Yeah. I feel like she doesn't know what she wants to be. Like
I don't think anyone knows what they want to be in the women's division at this point, except for Chris Statlander, who has her gimmick, like, to a T, nailed down.
Yeah, she definitely does. You got a librarian, you got... Yeah, it's just... It's very...
I don't like Leva. That's the thing, is, like, Leva, I've seen her do so much, and I've seen her so expand, and I know she's happy doing this, because she's happy being on this stage, but... She has so much more character that she could be giving than this, you know?
Like, I'm going to be real. Blue Pants was better than this.
Yeah.
Like, Blue Pants was better than The Librarian.
Yeah.
And literally her name was Blue Pants. She was literally named after her pants. Like, yeah. And it just worked better than The Librarian. Like, Blue Pants was better than all day. All day.
Everybody loves Blue Pants.
Because they love Leva. And I feel like the librarian is just a little restricting to Leva. It's great that she gets this role and she gets to do it on the stage and she gets the job and all that.
She barely gets to do it on the stage. I mean, that's the thing, is like most of the roster that's not the main roster of Cody and Young Bucks and MJ and now apparently Joey Janela, because apparently you just got a bitch online and then you apparently get a main event card.
That was just their way of explaining the fact that he wasn't going to be there. They were just trying to use it and make something of it. There was never an issue.
Yeah,
there.
I know. Work. And it's one of those things of like, I just don't like Joey Janela. You have to watch AEW Dark in order to get anybody else that's like signed by them that's not... You know, you get this almost the same people. Like, I mean, I know he's your champion, but like, how many times do I have to see the Inner Circle wrestle, or Chris come out and cut a promo?
Yeah, they could do with like a week where Jericho is just like a promo, and you know, I remember the last time that Triple H battled the Undertaker on a WrestleMania. The week before, they just showed a video package. Like, they were good. They had set everything up already, and I think you could do that with Jericho on occasion. You don't need him out there front and center every week. You can still feature him on the show in a short format and give that time to somebody else. Like, when was the last time we saw Kip Sabian on our television screen?
I'm just kidding.
And see, I want to see more Kip Sabian because then we see more Penelope Ford. Like, that's important to me. So I got priorities, people.
I mean, both of them. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Darby Allin's on the shelf apparently already, which, shocker.
Yeah. Is he hurt or is he just not being used? Like, I don't know.
I'm not necessarily. I mean, they haven't said that he's hurt, but I mean, I guess he's probably taking a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break. I don't know if it was from a dark match or the last match or whatever.
And they did talk about rotating talent and you know, base. And right now it seems like
doing a bang up job of that.
Apparently you've got to be evil and worshipping something strange and wearing all black, because then you can be Brandy, or you can be the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny, or you can be the Dark Order, and you can get your TV time that way.
What if they all just join forces and they become like this giant conglomerate of haunted Teddy Roosevelt, Alley, Dark Order? They could just become the UN.
Well, they already have the Nightmare Collective. Maybe it can just be the Nightmare Conglomerate. And
No. They're just the United Nations.
Of evil. Yeah, it's just...
No, it's just called... I mean, the United Nations is... It's just the United Nations. That's
okay.
What it is. The UN.
The UN. Who would be the leader? Or would that be part of the story? It'd be infighting, like the NWO, and you'd have Ali feuding with Brandy over the leadership of the UN and people
applying.
Well,
who's the most American?
Well, when she's not pretending to be an evil bunny, probably Ali. Ali's like all this all-American baby face everything. So.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, she would probably be the leader. And Brandy would be like the vice president. Of the UN. I don't know how the UN
Brandy
works.
Ain't going for that. Let's be honest. Like, Brandy ain't going for vice president.
Yeah.
She's not.
It's just, man, it is just, yeah. AEW's gotten dark. Like, there's AEW Dark, and then there's, like, AEW Darker.
Which is Dynamite.
Which is Dynamite.
Dynamite is now AEW Darker. And yeah.
AEW Occult.
Apparently. I want to go back to when, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, when The Butcher and the Blade debuted. I was super excited, like we text, and I was just like, oh my god, is The Butcher and the Blade? Like, I was so happy. But,
I was about to text you too, as soon as it happened.
But the thing that really bothered me about it was, they put it up, they put the hashtag up, hashtag Butcher Blade Bunny, after the first person came out. So
see, Jim, now I didn't pay attention to that.
They put, like, up in the upper right hand corner of the screen, they put it up after Braxton Sutter came out, or Pepper Parks, whatever they're probably just going to call him.
Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah, see, The Butcher of the Blade. I can't even remember because they've changed it in a couple different times. But
the Blade is Allie's husband,
right,
in real life.
So that's
but
Pepper.
That's Pepper.
That's the bald guy who's choosing to be bald versus the bald guy who's trying not to be bald. And
versus
Allie,
Teddy Roosevelt, yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt. The monocle works for him, though. Like, let's be honest.
Oh, my. When he came out and I saw him, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, AEW resurrected Teddy Roosevelt, and he's a wrestler now. I was like, bully. Good job, guys.
Like, we all thought Abe Lincoln was the wrestler. Nope. It was Teddy Roosevelt.
I mean, I feel like Teddy Roosevelt was actually a wrestler. Again, see? The United Nations. It
See?
Just ties right in.
When the Butcher came, or when the Blade came out, they then put up the hashtag Butcher Blade Bunny before the other two had even appeared. And so they apparently knew that. Jim Ross didn't know that. Excalibur did. And I'm okay with Jim Ross not knowing, because it's like when the Shield made their debut in WWE at Survivor Series, when they did their big attack. Michael Cole knew who they all were. He's like, oh, it's Seth Rollins from NXT, and oh, that's Roman Reigns, and that's Dean Ambrose. I think it's better if one of the announcers is like, I don't know who these people are. Like, of course you don't, because they're coming in out of nowhere and attacking somebody, and they're not supposed to be there. And
correct.
So it's okay. And Excalibur, knowing, I mean, that's kind of his thing. He comes from the independents. And so people were complaining that Jim Ross didn't know, and I thought it was good that Jim Ross didn't know. The production people knew, because they put up the hashtag, but that's a whole other issue.
No, I agree with you, because it's one of those things of Jim Ross. I mean, he doesn't technically come from, especially nowadays, he doesn't come from the independent scene. I mean, Jim Ross has pretty much been, other than when the territories were around and he was younger, but he's pretty much been fed into either WWE or WCW. Like, he'd never, it's not like Jim Ross went and started doing independent shows, like, when he was retired, quote unquote, like when he was off of being on WWE. It's not like he, you know, pimped himself out to then go do commentary at, like, you know, PWX or like, you know, anything like that. Like, he doesn't know, you know, beyond wrestling or bar wrestling. He doesn't know any of those. So for him to know these up and coming indie wrestlers is actually pretty impressive. Because, and so when he's like, I don't know who these people are, one, you shouldn't, because that just adds more to the, like, they're here from out of nowhere. And two, like, it's not his bag, you know, to be knowing all of these people.
I mean, if you told me that Jim Ross has ever listened to Every Time I Die, I wouldn't believe you. Like, I just wouldn't believe you whatsoever. I would say you were lying. So there's no way he should know who the Butcher is. Like, he just shouldn't. And maybe he would know who Pepper Parks is, but I don't know why. Allie's only been on the show, just barely been on the show, and when she was on Dark, I don't even know if he was on commentary, and so it makes sense to me that he doesn't know who they are. And I know people love to criticize Jim Ross, and I love to criticize Jim Ross, but that's one that I felt like was fine, and I was okay with. I didn't have a problem at all. No judging. Was not judging Jim Ross on that one. No judgment. No nothing for Jim Ross. Jim Ross does plenty to be judged about. I think it's okay when he doesn't know things. I think they should almost play that up more and own it. And mm-hmm. you know, yeah, maybe that has him lean more towards being a heel or whatever, but I don't care. Like, Excalibur is fantastic. So let him be the knowledgeable one. Let him be the Mike Tenay who knows everybody and everything. And Jim Ross is the guy who's, you know, kind of that old fogey who knows the big stars like Jericho and Moxley and Cody and all those guys. And let that be a thing. And again, you can use it to play into all the WWE NXT versus Dynamite stuff. Like, there's just go with it. It's different and it works to me.
I agree 100%. Like, I mean, it's fine for him not to know, because again, it's now on mainstream television. I can bet you that there were a good majority of people that were watching that were like, who? They were right with, yeah, Jim Ross. I mean, if the ratings, quote unquote, have any, like, actual backing of people, there is no way in hell that that at least probably a third of them were not confused as to who those people were, you know, and had no clue who they were, you know, besides maybe Allie that they've seen before. But I mean, like, they probably had no clue who the Butcher and Blade were. They were just like, who are these guys? And then when she came out, they're like, oh, it's Allie. And then, like, wait, who are these guys, though?
And honestly, a lot of them may not have even realized it was Allie, because she didn't even look like herself. Like, it's fun. Like, it's just, sometimes people take the wrong things too seriously, and you know, I think that it's exciting. They're already more over than the Dark Order, unfortunately for the Dark Order, so that's a big plus.
That Dark Order thing, I'm trying, like, I've been watching that, like, weird Jim Jones recreation thing that's going on right now that they're trying to do, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't even know how to feel about it. Like, I'm not even mad at it. I'm just straight up, like, confused. I'm just like, y'all aren't trying. Like, this is something.
I think they are trying, honestly. Like, sometimes you try and things just don't work. And to me, that's what this strikes me as. Like, y'all tried and it hasn't worked. So, what can you do? Like, move on to the next thing. You know, and then try again later. Like, to me, it'd be better if they just kind of disappeared for a little bit, maybe changed things up, and then came back. But
What if they all drank the Kool-Aid and then, like, did the whole Heaven's Gate thing, and then they were done, and then they came back
from under the ring? Because that's how everybody comes back.
Yeah, I mean, everybody ascends and then descends and then rises back up through the ring.
That's how you return in wrestling.
Yes, that's how you are reincarnated in wrestling. Is you are reborn under the ring next to the tables and chairs with a kendo stick in hand.
Yes, fire extinguisher by your side.
Yes, for comfort.
Hornswoggle there to greet you, because he's under every ring.
Yeah, and he's like, welcome back. He's like, please go towards the light, follow the canvas, and you like crawl up through the canvas like a baby out of the womb, and you just pull your head out and slowly breach into the ring.
Breach into the ring. Oh man.
And you are once reborn into, it's like the movie Cats. It's like the musical Cats, but with wrestling.
That's what AEW has become. The musical Cats, but with wrestling. Yeah, that's something else. Before we shift gears, I want to go back to last week's episode that we didn't get a chance to talk about, because we were all on board with Scorpio Sky challenging Chris Jericho for the AEW championship.
Yes.
We're excited, yes. Scorpio Sky, this and that. How'd you feel about the execution when Scorpio Sky actually got his shot at Chris Jericho?
I mean, I don't know if I hyped it up too much mentally in my brain. I like got really excited and was like, yeah, this is going to be, and I don't know who, I have to say it was equal parts both. I think, I don't know if it was nerves, because I mean, it is a big deal for Scorpio to have this, especially so soon, so quickly. So I don't know if it was nerves and maybe like, you know, there isn't enough in the tank for Chris right now and at the moment, or his time in life, you know, like, and it's just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was a good match, but it wasn't the match that I thought in my head that we were going to see when it came to, and I don't know if it's because they didn't have so many like close false finishes or have so many of those kind of like standalone moments that made it kind of, I feel like it was almost kind of rushed in a way. Like there wasn't breath for the momentum and the I don't know, excitement to build with the audience and with them in the ring. I don't know. I feel like there's like big moments like that need to have breath in them, where like you do some moves and then you stand back and you kind of just take that moment of like, you know, like to let the crowd realize what has just transpired and like what's transpiring between these two. So I don't know. Maybe, I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but I would like to see it maybe done again in different circumstances. And maybe next time it will be that kind of five-tier match we were talking about.
And what stinks about that is that I don't feel like they left it open for a next time. I mean, there was Scorpio Sky tapped out. And I'm kind of like it's two different parts to me. It's part playlist, like what they did wasn't on my playlist, and so I didn't like that. And it's part potential, which, you know, Patrick likes to refer to as the P word that I like to use sometimes. Like, I don't feel like it lives up to its potential. You mentioned the false finishes. Like, to me, that should have been huge. Like, you should have had all these close calls where Scorpio Sky almost wins. And for a company that likes to use all these old tropes that WWE is no longer using, I feel like having Scorpio Sky be right there ready to win and the Inner Circle running in, attacking him and causing the DQ would have been the perfect outcome for this match. And then you set it up to do something else again down the road, but instead it kind of felt like this random win for Jericho that, okay, like, what did it really accomplish? Jericho didn't need, like we're not building Jericho, it's Chris Jericho. And
yeah,
I think
we could have built
the Inner Circle and given them a little more of a purpose other than giving Chris Jericho presence and losing six-man tag matches. So it's, I just felt like it missed the mark for me, and I thought that they could have done more. There's a bias there because we wanted Scorpio Sky to have this big one. We didn't think he was going to win, but we wanted it to be more for Scorpio Sky than it was. And, you know, that's a little on us, and I'll own that. I'll be perfectly fine to own and accept that. So
I mean I'll let you own it. I won't. Yeah, you can own it. You can own it for us.
Okay.
I mean, you can put it on you, but you can be the martyr for this. But I mean, I also feel like it should have been, because again, like you said, we're not building Chris Jericho. There's no
yeah.
there's there's no, like, it's not like the writers in the back or whoever's writing. It's not like Tony Khan's in the back being like, man, we really need to put over this new Chris guy because, like, he needs a push so that the fans can get behind him.
Yeah, we need to make sure we establish this guy a little bit better. He's just so, like, so new on the scene.
We should really come with a backstory for him, you know, and, like, really, maybe he should write a book. He should, you know what he should do? He should get a cruise. He should get a cruise ship.
Yeah. Or, maybe, you know, is Mick Foley available? Let's maybe have him put over Mick Foley, or Mick Foley put him over. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, Jim Ross needs to talk about him more.
Yes. Did he go to college for 6 years? Was he a dentist?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I adore Scorpio's guy so much, and he deserves so much. I feel like it was lackluster. And I feel like it stole from him. And it doesn't necessarily make him a bad wrestler or take anything away in that sense, but, like, it stole his moment, and I feel like shame on them. Like, if you're going to give someone a moment like this that they're going to cherish and that it is very important to someone's career, even though, you know, he's not going to win because they're going to keep Chris as a champion for a hot minute, like it should have still been momentous. Like, you built the hell out of Kenny Omega and Moxley and Pac and Moxley or Omega, whatever, the rotation of those guys over and over again. Like, those, and again, those matches did deliver. I like Pac. I like how they, you know, Kenny's okay. But, you know, Moxley is, you know, Stone Cold 2.0. It's just, you know, which is fine because that's his character. I mean, Stone Cold John Moxley. It's good. It works. But, like, they should have built this up a little bit more. You know, I thought they would deliver in a match and it didn't. And I don't know if it was just because of what they decided. And that's the thing, is I don't know who called it. I'm assuming Chris called it.
Probably. I mean, Scorpio Sky's been doing this for 17 years. He got the first pinfall over Jericho the week before. And so for those of you who hate your 50-50 booking, there you go. You know, you got your 50-50 booking in the end. And, yeah, it almost would have been nice, you know, if Scorpio doesn't win because the Inner Circle attacks. Now you've got this looming over that Scorpio kind of always has in his back pocket, and you can revisit it later or even continue, because now we're moving into Jericho and Moxley is what we're building towards, which is fine. It's amazing how excited people are over that feud, by the way, when it sucked in WWE, but now it's great because it's, you know, AEW.
That's okay. Everybody hated the Festival of Friendship when it was in WWE, but they really loved this one when they did it in AEW.
Well, no one should have ever hated the Festival of Friendship. I mean, come on. The Festival of Friendship is a national treasure.
There's even action figures. No, Mattel has, like, a whole, like, thing where you can get a little action figure Chris and an action figure Kevin Owens, and it has the entire setup of the Festival
that's great.
Of Friendship. Yeah, I saw it the other day when I was looking up stuff and like randomly for holiday stuff, and I saw it, like, and I was like, no way. But yeah, Mattel made the Festival of Friendship.
That's outstanding. That is just perfect. And so I think that that's where that potential was, and maybe that potential was missed. But, you know, you talked about writing, and that's the that goes back to, I don't think anybody's actually writing anything, and maybe they need to be, you know. And I mean, the women's division's in shambles, so that's not a good look at for Kenny Omega, who's supposedly booking the women's division. And it's okay. It's when wrestling's on television, it becomes a TV show, and TV shows are written. And they're booking as if they're booking live events, but it's not a live event. It's a television show. And so there's just, I don't think they need to go the hardcore writing that WWE does, but I do think there's some benefit to doing some of it and using it for organization. And I'm tired of this argument that they're learning still, because they intentionally are not doing these things. Like, they're intentionally not writing and not doing all that and touting it and talking and bragging about it. So I can't buy into it.
I just, when somebody gives me one, I hate excuses, but when somebody gives me an excuse of like, oh, they're still learning, AEW is still getting its kinks out, it's still learning. Y'all, you have JR. You have Chris Jericho. You have Cody Rhodes. You have Dustin Rhodes. You have Brandy. You have Awesome Kong. You have Billy Gunn. You have Arn Anderson. And then you have people from, you know, like Omega and Mox. Like, the list goes on and on of people that you have that have done this for quite some time in many different places and have been either in front of or behind the camera. So don't give me that bullshit. I call bullshit. They're learning. They're learning about how to work TV. Bullshit. Like if it was like just a gaggle of like, I don't know, they're younger stars and stuff like that. Like, yeah, if it was Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends and, you know, Sammy Guevara and you know, but not even LAX, because, I mean, they know how to work TV. Like, you know, somebody, like, then I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, they're getting used to, like, you know, all the different cameras and, like equipment and blah, 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 blah. But everybody else, like, no. This is not their first rodeo.
No, not at all. There's so many people there who know and who can contribute and who can explain and help and all of that. Yeah, you're exactly right. 100%. Nobody can argue against it. It's Adam Cole's girlfriend. Sorry. I just love that. That was Excalibur is one of my favorite parts of that and any program. Before we shift gears to NXT, just a quick reminder to everybody to head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com and pick up your very own Chair Shot t-shirt. I mean, it's the holiday season, and what better gift to give a loved one? What better way to show them your appreciation than a ProWrestlingTees.com t-shirt, which Brittany's modeling but not wearing, which is just the most amazing thing ever. First of all, Christmas is coming up, right? Nothing says Christmas like a Jesus Did the Job t-shirt. I mean, that is, you know, that just screams holiday season right there. Like, you're going to celebrate. You want to celebrate it? Great. Get the Jesus Did the Job t-shirt. Because, again, that shirt, just to make sure, because we always refer to it as the Jesus Did the Job t-shirt. Let me explain. It's Jesus Did the Job and his dad was the promoter. Like, this is the perfect wrestling reference for the holiday season. Whether you believe or you don't, doesn't matter. If you don't believe, then it's just irony. And if you do believe, you can do it with a smile on your face. I have a person I work with who is an avid churchgoer, bought that shirt and thinks it's hilarious and has to explain it to people and loves that. So pick up your Jesus Did the Job t-shirt. We've talked before on this show about the likes of Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller and all the bad reporting that's out there. So you can pick up your hashtag journalism t-shirt and, you know, buy that. And you can go with the old school OG chair shot designs, the new chair shot designs. If you love AEW because AEW is focusing on tag team wrestling, we got the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling t-shirt as well. All kinds of designs that you can pick out. And if you listened to the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show for this week, you know that A, you should buy every shirt in soft style because it's more comfortable, and B, we now have the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt for Miranda Morales herself. It's very similar to maybe a King of Strong Style shirt that's been out there before, and you can get your very own Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Buy it for a loved one. Buy it for yourself. And I mean, I requested that they only sell that shirt in soft style. I believe it's available in not soft style, but how can you have a Queen of Soft Style t-shirt and not have it in soft style?
Not in soft style. Yeah, no, that's silly. I mean, I'm going to get myself, because, like, not only is December, is it almost Christmas time, it is also almost my birthday. So, because I am December 21st, so I am very close to Christmas.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm going to get myself a Queen of Soft Style.
You should. I know someone who would be very excited if you did that. I can tell you that. Listen to the reveal. She didn't realize it was actually going to be a shirt. She thought it was just a design. I don't know why she thought I would get a shirt designed and not make a shirt out of it, but it's neither here nor there. Quite the moment on air when that was revealed. I didn't even realize it was going to be a moment because I figured she knew. So, yeah. Who knows? But yep, pick up your Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Pick up any t-shirt you want over at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. And it's / TheChairShot because, well, this show Part of the Chairshot Radio Network is available exclusively at
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
So we talk about NXT, or we're going to talk about NXT next. And this week's NXT, I mean, at least it was bookended as the Keith Lee show. We've got Keith Lee now being built up. First of all, last week, which we didn't talk about, Keith Lee...
Bask in his glory.
Yes, and basically launched Adam Cole into the stratosphere, and he landed into a sea of fans. Obviously weren't fans. Come on now. Don't be stupid. But, I mean, that spot was so amazing. Like, Adam Cole's running out and Keith Lee just pouncing. Yeah, it was just so perfect. And sends him into the third row. Then Adam Cole bumping his ass off because he's Adam Cole. And just so...
He doesn't get a break.
No. He should be dead after what happened at War Games. And when Britt Baker was shocked and worried. And he still wrestled the next night. And now he's out there on NXT. But, I mean... You know, as he said in his promo that we talked about on a recent other podcast, you know, most people would be out of commission, but most people aren't Adam Cole, baby. This is all about Keith Lee. Keith Lee got the best of pretty much the entire Undisputed Era at the start of NXT and then pinned Adam Cole. And now he's finding himself in a number one contender situation and probably going to lead to some kind of triple threat or four-way match. Who knows? As NXT is setting up an Adam Cole title defense for later this month, you and I have touted the values of Keith Lee, and now, you know, here we are, kind of, you know, Keith Lee got put over huge at Survivor Series, and now we're, you know, we're pinning Seth Rollins and then going toe-to-toe with Roman Reigns, and even though they lost the tag match last week on NXT, it wasn't Keith Lee who took the pin, and now we have Keith Lee pretty much ascending to the main event level on NXT.
Yeah, like I said, I cannot. The people are always like, oh, you know, Keith Lee's great. But I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, Keith Lee is great in all aspects, like human being, like just personally, and then in ring, in promos, out of ring. Like, he's like Adam Cole's like counterpart. Like, him and Adam are just so like on that level. Like, they're otherworldly when it comes to their job, when it comes to actually entertaining and being, and also being over with the fans. I mean, that's the thing, is like, there was a point like when Keith Lee came out, when Adam Cole was talking, like Keith Lee was more over than Adam Cole. And like, I haven't seen that in quite some time, of people doing a chant over an Adam Cole chant or an Undisputed Era chant doing another wrestler chant. And so Keith Lee, like, is just, I mean, he's blown up over, I mean, he's been great for a while, but after the whole Survivor Series thing, it's like the train has just sped up even more. And is just going down the tracks. And it's wonderful to see. And I like how they're doing it. And I like that they're pulling Dijakovic. And I like this whole thing that they're pulling Ciampa in with too, since Gargano's out. And they're pulling, you know, having Ciampa do things as well. I mean, they're making so many people. Again, we've talked about this before. As NXT finds a way to make so many people relevant, like, in their roster, as opposed to just certain people. Like, everyone, there's a magnitude of people that are relevant in their roster that they can just pull and pick and choose from at any given time. So
yeah, they're building up everybody, and everybody's important, and everybody matters, and that's a big part of what NXT is doing so well. And it just continues to evolve and develop, and I was even excited to watch Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno fight again, and I saw that match live. You know, they're doing a lot, and you got Kushida back now, and you know, Damian Priest is hurt, so we got to see Pete Dunne wrestle Killian Dane again. Like, the women's division is on fire. It's the best women's division in any wrestling company right now, is and when we're headed towards Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler, which we knew was going to happen when Ripley pinned Baszler in War Games and then was the sole survivor at Survivor Series and pinned Sasha Banks, and she's pinned Charlotte on television. Rhea Ripley's here, and she's so young. Like it's she's gonna be one of the biggest stars in the women's division that we've ever seen here in the next few years. So she's not going anywhere. Just a lot of good stuff coming up, and even the next few weeks of NXT are set up very well. Like we know it's coming up. We don't know too much, but we know just enough. They're announcing it with reasons, and it's another one of the differences, I guess, between the two shows for me, between AEW and NXT, that to me stands out as a positive. And that's kind of what, you know, when the ratings came out and NXT won the ratings for 2 weeks, now AEW won them again, and it was a trend, and the trend was a little more alarming for NXT because of what they've lost, for AEW, I should say, because of what they lost from the beginning. And my observation was basically, to me, AEW touted itself as this big alternative to WWE. And it is an alternative to WWE, don't get me wrong. Like, it's definitely an alternative. But I feel like NXT is a bigger alternative to what we see on Raw and SmackDown every week than even AEW is. And I use this phrase on the last shit show. I feel like NXT has kind of out AEW'd AEW in some ways in terms of being an alternative, because both are alternatives, but to me, NXT is the bigger alternative. What do you think?
I agree. I like the way, I mean, that's the thing is like when AEW says we're going to be an alternative to WWE, it's like, okay, cool. Like, AEW is an alternative to WWE, just like Impact is an alternative to WWE, or NWA is an alternative to WWE, or New Japan is an alternative. Like, there are other wrestling companies that are alternatives to WWE, technically.
Yeah, or how Ring of Honor isn't an alternative to an exciting, entertaining wrestling promotion.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, Ring of... I said that... I was like, yeah, that's... Oh, yeah, no, that was a... shot on in a Ring of Honor. That's fine. It's okay. Poor Ring of Honor.
It's Ring of Honor.
I mean, maybe one day they'll be like rebirth from under the ring, and they can come back.
just the entire promotion crawls out through a hole in the canvas.
Right.
Thanks to Hornswoggle. Like,
please, sir. May I have a booking?
Remember us.
Remember us. And no, it'll be like The Ring. It'll be like some scary Grudge movie where it's like some weird little young girl like in the corner like, I'm Ring of Honor.
Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I think NXT has, because that's the thing is like, when NXT was created, it was created in a sense of being like, yes, it was developmental. Yes, it was FCW before, but like, it was created in a big like, yeah, like, we're like the bastard stepchild of WWE. Like, we're like the redheaded stepchild or whatever they call it nowadays. Like, we're the alternative, punky, edgy. Like, we're still a little gritty. We're still a little new because it's all these, like, newer people. And, like, you know, we're developmental, quote unquote. So, like, you know, everything's a little bit more rough around the edges. And, like, we're more real and raw. And we're trying new things and new characters. And we're letting things just fly and seeing what sticks and like trying new things over and over again. And they've definitely out AEW'd AEW. I agree 100% with you. When you said that, it like clicked in my head like, oh man, he is so correct. Like, AEW almost is more like WWE's Raw and SmackDown than NXT is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're more connected in that way. If you were to swap them and swap names, people would not think for a second that AEW wasn't a WWE product, like a developmental WWE product. If you were like, oh, this is their developmental brand.
Or like their revival of Nitro.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly.
AEW strikes me as, and I think this is what they want it to be, and I think some people just misinterpreted what the alternative meant. AEW is, and they, remember, they market themselves as they wanted to bring back the lapsed fan. And so to me, the way they're doing that is they're using the old tropes that WWE just doesn't use anymore. Like, we had a battle royal.
That's the last time, yeah.
Yeah, a battle royal, and then the last two guys fought over a ring, and you've got Chris Jericho, and you got the Inner Circle, which is a big faction, and we're doing big, huge celebrations, which you haven't really seen in WWE more recently. And a lot of these things, you know, when we're bringing back Bash at the Beach, and they're trying to come up with their own version of War Games, and all these things that are somewhat rehash of just tropes that WWE stopped using, whereas NXT is like, they're doing things that have never been done before. And trying to do them in a way, they're presenting the product in a way that's brand new. AEW doesn't look like a brand new product. It looks a lot like Nitro, as I've said before. And it's working for them, don't get me wrong. And I do think some people expected, you know, something that it wasn't intended to be. I think they intended to be this somewhat of a Nitro revival and bringing back an old product that people enjoyed. And that's fine. But to me, NXT is just presenting wrestling in a way you can compare, you know, Raw and SmackDown, and that's, people are going to have all their complaints. It's easy for people to make the comparison between Dynamite and Nitro, between the network, between the presentation, between the look and the feel of the show and everything. I can't compare NXT to anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes, yep, why it's the most unique thing. Maybe, you know, when Ring of Honor was really good, but even that, Ring of Honor wasn't presented in a way. Like, maybe in the ring, NXT can be compared to Ring of Honor, was really good, and most of their talent was in Ring of Honor when it was really good, but the presentation is unlike anything. Like, they've truly figured out a way to make wrestling look and feel just a little bit different, and I think using Full Sail is part of it. I know they eventually won't be using Full Sail, and they've managed to kind of keep that chip on their shoulder despite being on USA Network and despite being a more WWE brand now, because there's three brands and they're one of them. So it's, I mean, and I don't know if that credit needs to go to Triple H. I think some of the credit goes to Triple H. Some of the credit goes to the talent. Like, they haven't lost the aura of NXT. They've made it better. And that's not an easy thing to do when you hit TV.
I agree. I mean, it is rough to, when you hit TV, all of a sudden, like we said, writing, it becomes more scripted. It becomes more polished. And of course, I mean, that's the thing. TV has time constraints. So like, it becomes definitely way more tight and precise and watered down, and things get cut out and things get changed. Like, you know, and so you lose that kind of rough and tumble action, you know, you don't know what's going to happen kind of thing. And they've really kept it. And again, yeah, I think a good portion of it has to do with Triple H. And I think also a good portion of it has to do with the talent has been there. And some of the talent has been there from the beginnings, you know, because you have a lot of the talent that pretty much only, you know, if they're not seen a couple times on television, they do a lot of the live shows. And they probably do a lot of dark matches. And I think just the flow, NXT, again, has been around for a while. And, like, in the, well, I remember you saying, like, in this form, like, since, like, 2012 or something like that.
Yeah, a lot longer than people realize, I think.
Yeah. And so they've got a formula, and they don't plan on changing it just because they changed a network. Like, their formula works because they have it still works to where it fits a certain amount of time. So they're not going to change that formula. And so, yeah, I think that's why they've held on to it, is because they've been around for enough time that they already have their process all sussed out. Whereas AEW, you know, got on a major television network without any trial and error beforehand. Like, all they were doing was big pay-per-views, and that's not going to teach you or help you learn how to produce a weekly television show and make it concise and, you know, not a weird one-offs here and there and weird, like, different things where you're like, oh, that makes, okay, that's gone now. Like, oh, yeah. No, that, now we're doing this. Like, now everybody's possessed.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of that. And it's still, AEW is still at its root a company started by guys who didn't want to be booked a certain way by WWE. And whereas NXT started about showcasing certain talent and originally getting people ready for the quote-unquote main roster. So at the root, they're very different. And that, is, I think, was what part of it shows. And that's why we get those same players a little bit in AEW, because those players are why it started to begin with. And and it's a little overkill, a little too much, but that's, you know, what people signed up for when they signed up for AEW. So we're going to continue to get some of that, I think, and maybe it'll change over time. But we're talking about NXT, and we're talking about what keeps the brand kind of the way it is. And when Adam Cole won the NXT Championship at TakeOver 25, Triple H talked about him kind of leading the brand into the future. And it was surprising to hear those comments, but now we've seen it sort of play out with what he's done. But Tommaso Ciampa has really become like the guy championing the brand so much. And he's done so many little things. And I talked about this a little bit on the show earlier this week, but just the little things that he does, like I feel like no one loves NXT more than Tommaso Ciampa. Like, when the OC showed up, we've talked about this, and Tommaso Ciampa welcomed them to the main roster when they showed up in NXT. And then the last week, after last week's match that he had with Finn Balor, when he was the one who announced that Jessica Carr was leaving NXT to move over to SmackDown, he was very specific, and if you watch the video, they put it up on YouTube, how he was like, she's making a lateral move from NXT to SmackDown. And then he did an interview this week where he said he has told WWE if they move him to Raw or SmackDown, he will immediately retire because he does not want to go on either of those shows. And he's so banged up, and he's had so many injuries, he would basically last 6 months on Raw or SmackDown, and then he would have to be done anyway, so he might as well retire and play a different role backstage or whatever. And I just love that. I just love that he is so, you know, in NXT, because for everything that Adam Cole has done, they move him and the Undisputed Era to Raw or SmackDown, they're going to go. And they're gonna go with that, and they're going to do what the company wants. But Ciampa is like, he's kind of the NXT lifer in my eyes. And I think that, you know, when he hangs it up, like, he could almost be the first guy who eventually goes into the Hall of Fame solely because of NXT, is what I see out of Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And people like Tommaso Ciampa do not come around a lot in this wrestling world that are so dedicated and so loving and so caring to the company that they work for. And it's one of those things of, like, a lot of wrestlers, you know, especially nowadays with social media and stuff, so you hear everybody's, you know, gripes and complaints and everything about everyone. But, you know, a lot of the wrestlers are just true to themselves and do not think outside of what, you know, well, am I getting over? Am I being put over? Am I doing, you know? So for him to be so much, I mean, that's the thing, is I could see him, you know, I'm pretty sure he probably helps coach some of those kids, some of the people.
Probably.
And I could see him, you know, retiring from the ring, but I bet he would still stay in the performance center and help, you know, train and work. And, like, you know, we just need more people in the wrestling world that are quote unquote veterans, just to actually care about what brand they are. Because, I mean, yes, you're a product for yourself, but the company that you work for, that is providing for you and your family, or, like, helping you build you as a person, like, that should be a priority of yours too, because the longer they're there, the longer you're there, you know? And so I really do believe that he is a very, he's a pillar of a persona that people should try to live up to. And do more of in the wrestling world when it comes to the companies and the places they work for and stuff is definitely his mindset of things. So
yeah, he's perfect. I adore perfect everything. For NXT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect for NXT and absolutely perfect for that brand. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he's ever leaving the company. I think he's going to stay there forever, and I do think he's going to retire eventually, and probably sooner than we think. Given some of those comments where he talks about being injured and talks about if he had the Raw or SmackDown schedule, he wouldn't last 6 months. Like, that tells me he could be done in a year or two, you know, and
I mean, or even sooner if there's one wrong move in his match. I mean, that's the thing, is he does some pretty grueling matches.
He does.
He'll just put himself through it and throw himself headfirst into it.
Yeah. And I don't even think we've seen, because he won the championship and ended up having to give it up, like, I don't think we've seen him at his like, his ultimate form yet. Like, I think him having a long run with the title would still be so entertaining, even more so now. And I hope we get to see that. I hope that's in the cards. I don't know what they're planning and what they're doing, so we'll find out soon enough. But, yeah, Tommaso Ciampa is the guy in NXT, despite the fact that I play Adam Cole soundbites. All right, share the info.
Does he really have does Tommaso Ciampa really have soundbites?
I mean, I'm sure I can get a Daddy's Home soundbite or something like that, and we can play that a lot.
Well, until then, my info, you can find me on all social media platforms under Look It's Brittany. You can also follow Elevate Pro, my pro wrestling company here in Louisiana, in New Orleans. And we actually have a show announced. January 25th is going to be our first 2020 show, and it's going to be in Chalmette, Louisiana. So go to elevatepro.com and you can get all the details and come around to Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama area. It's not that far of a drive. So if you're around the Gulf South,
come check it out.
Your show.
That's right. And you can find me at ChairShotGreg on all of your forms of social media. The website is thechairshot.com, where you get all your wrestling opinions, analysis, tons of great podcasts, just like this one, just like so many others. And of course, we talked about it before. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up a t-shirt, whatever t-shirt you want, pick one up. It makes a great gift for the holiday. It's a lot of fun. Something that I know you will enjoy. Something that you'll enjoy having to be a part of your life, part of your wardrobe, part of your comfort. Definitely do check that out. So yeah, that's it for this week. We're done.
Yeah, we did it.
We got nothing else to do except maybe play a song.
It's bigger than ever. Stronger than ever. Forever. Rocky Logan. Yo Logan. Show Logan. Show, yo, and Rock A. We about to make Roppongi 3K. Transform and Optimus are properly bigger than Gundam bodies. So stop a light. Show yo, they hit the room. The crowd blacked out. Can you feel the boom? Causing more chaos in the typhoon. Future fried wrestling served to you with a spoon. Roppongi 3K, 3K, 3K. Roppongi 3K, 3K, 3K. Roppongi 3000 is on the way. Rock your show and yo.